right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And we are continuing some good Halloween coverage going on the podcast by entering the Blumhouse. We are doing one of the four Welcome to the Blumhouse series movies. Today we are going to be talking about Nocturne. And joining me for this one is our good buddy Chad Clinton Freeman. It's been a while since he's been on the podcast, but I am always happy to have him back on the show. We had a great fun conversation about this one, and I only watched one of these four Blumhouse movies, but he watched all four, and so he gives a couple thoughts on how the overall series was as well. So we got a great conversation coming up. As always, I want to make sure you are reminded to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice, because believe me, we have a lot of episodes coming your way over the next few weeks. I'm actually sitting here staring at a calendar and trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to schedule them all. But you know what? That's not for you guys to worry about. That's for me to worry about, and I'll figure it out. I will get these episodes to you one way or another. But we've got a lot of Piecing It Together coming your way, so make sure you're subscribed on your podcast app of choice. You can also follow us on social media at PiecingPod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. We also have a Patreon, and I do want to remind you to check that out. We got a lot of great content on there, stuff from my music career. These album-length commentaries I've been putting together are going up on there. Also, advanced episodes of Piecing It Together, bonus episodes from Awesome Movie Year. We got another bonus episode going up real soon, too. So definitely check out that Patreon, patreon.com/bydavidrosen. It's the Produced by David Rosen Patreon. Lots of content already, and the more subscribers we get, the more content we're going to make. So definitely check that out. So with all that said, I think it's time to get into today's conversation. We are talking about Nocturne from the Welcome to the Blumhouse series of Halloween-themed movies. So let's get to it. All right, so back on the show with us today, we've got our good buddy Chad Clinton Freeman to talk about a new Blumhouse film. Chad, how's it going?
It is going great. Happy to be back. Happy to be on this episode specifically. I am definitely a fan of Blumhouse movies in general. You know, they have kind of a small little empire that's been growing for several years. So I like that they branched out and they do these TV originals. They did it with Hulu and now with Amazon. So excited.
Yeah, it is interesting how they are totally not any one platform specific. I mean, they are just all over the place with what they put out. And this whole Welcome to the Blumhouse series, you watched all four of these, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I was excited about that new four new movies, for the month of October. I would say overall, they're all four pretty good. They're at least on par with what they were doing with the Into the Dark series over on Hulu, which they did 22 of these over a couple of years. I don't know if they're taking a break or if they're done, but they haven't done any in a few months here. They were releasing one each month that was kind of themed to whatever holiday was that month. Those are all pretty cool. They're very much kind of like the Twilight Zone, and I would say that these are too. For the majority, when you've got these Blumhouse movies, they are generally scaled down films of person or a couple of people in a house. I think Paranormal Activity was one of their first big hits, and I think everything's kind of like using that as the template. And then they've started to get a little bit bigger with their, their bigger releases like Fantasy Island. These are definitely paired back to, I think, where that brand started out from.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing they've done. And while, I mean, I'll say right here at the top, like these movies aren't necessarily my favorite thing. You know, you like to make fun of me for saying I'm not really a horror guy, but you know, these movies generally are not my thing, but they, you know, the economical nature of how they're making these, and it is definitely something I think to be celebrated right now, especially with the way things are going with Hollywood and the pandemic and everything. I mean, these movies are going to be needed to keep things moving and keep people excited about movies.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, is it really, if you think about it though, what they've been doing, they've pretty much been there for some filmmakers that are kind of been down and out, like M. Night, because they did The Village, they did Split, they did Glass, even Spike Lee, a Black Klansman was from Blumhouse, and Eli Roth, even Green Inferno. So they're definitely, even Rob Zombie, whatever, the Salem movie.
Lords of Salem.
Yeah, Lords of Salem. Yeah, so they really do have this kind of, I guess, template of making movies and making them at a low budget, and it has worked. And yes, it's definitely going to be something that I think more studios are going to be looking at and trying to figure out how do we do that now that everything has gone crazy with the pandemic.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's get into this one. We'll at some point in the conversation talk about some of the other Welcome to the Blumhouse movies that you watched. This is the only one I watched, though, Nocturne. And we're going to get into some puzzle pieces here in a second. But I just want to know, before we get into the puzzle pieces, how you felt this one kind of ranked among the four?
Of the four, this one... It's not my favorite, but it's not my least favorite. It actually ranks third of the four. But I would I would say all four are definitely worth a watch, especially if you're into. They're not really horror. Or what I would call them is they're definitely genre films. They are horror influenced thrillers, is what I would say. They're definitely more on the thriller side than horror. But I mean, again, still a welcome for me with October and Halloween coming up. I definitely enjoyed them.
Okay. Well, why don't we get into some puzzle pieces for Nocturne? What do you got for your first one?
Well, so the first one I'm going to go with, I think this also is another studio that is making movies their own way. And theirs are definitely more on the artistic side. I would say The Witch is what came to mind to me when I watched this movie, which is from your favorite studio. I call them A24. A24. The Witch, the reason that came to mind here is that you've got a young woman, and she is kind of, I would say, in some ways, immature for her age. She hasn't had a lot of exposure to things in life, life in general. And she's really just kind of becoming her own person. She's a timid person. And in The Witch, you've got the character going to the dark side. And, you know, here you've got that same thing going on. And as an audience member watching the film, you don't really know how much she's actually being sucked in, how much is mental. And I would say definitely with this one, there's a lot of open questions as to what even really happens. If it was all mental, if there is something supernatural or what happened. But, you've also got, you know, no screen appearance from like the devil, but, you've got the suggestion that, you know, the devil wrote this piece of music. Of course, you've got Black Phillip as, you know, some sort of demonic presence. I'm not even quite sure what Black Phillip is, though, in the Witch movies. But I just felt very much a connection to that film in watching this one. This one is stylized at times, which is what I really do like about it. And also, you know, The Witch is just one that's a stylized movie about a young woman, you know, turning to the dark side.
Sure. Yeah, that dark part of the person's self and like connecting with that versus any kind of positive influence. And yeah, I think that's definitely a good piece to kick it off with. And I'm going to go with, for my first one, you know, speaking to the music aspect of this movie, because it is set in the world of competitive piano playing in a music school. And I'm going to go with the movie Whiplash from a few years ago. I think possibly the same year as The Witch, I think. But
also a Blumhouse production. So
I know, I was shocked to find that out when I was looking that movie up. I was like, wait a minute, what? Jason Blum produced this movie? That's crazy. But Damien Chazelle directed, and it is a great, great movie about the lengths that people will go just absolutely sacrificing themselves, their own health, their own sanity for just perfection in their art. And which is absolutely the thing that is being explored here with Nocturne. But of course, in Nocturne, we add in these, you know, potentially mystical elements, which again, we're not 100% sure what is and what isn't real there. But what is for sure is that this person is pushing themselves way too hard because of the competitive nature of their particular art form.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and, you know, in Whiplash, you've got a particular person that's doing the pushing on him. And sure, this one, it is more of an internal push. I guess the pressures that she just personally feels, especially something that she's, you know, given her whole life to. But yeah, definitely Whiplash was one that came to mind. This is very much almost as if you took Whiplash and was like, hey, how do I make a Whiplash horror movie?
Sure.
and this is kind of the result if you did that.
Which, to be clear, I think Whiplash actually manages to be scarier.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, yeah.
For different reasons, though.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that I know the music world in general really is this way. I mean, I played the trumpet in middle school, junior high, and my first year of high school. My introduction to band, I had a psycho band instructor. Okay. I actually got D's. I can't remember if I got an F, but this guy was nuts. He treated us like, you know, he wanted perfection. His whole thing that has stuck with me this whole time is he would say, you know, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And to be that way with, you know, what was this? This was sixth grade.
Right.
Just insane. So that was my little introduction to music in general. And again, this was sixth grade, for sure, a band. So I really know when you're getting into the seriousness of people that are prodigies are being groomed to be prodigies, that it could definitely be insane.
It's heavy pressure. Yeah. Just insane. Yeah. Heavy pressure.
Like military, like sports, you know, gymnastics, football. I mean, the same sort of pressure. So yeah, Whiplash was one that I brought up before, because, you know, it's a movie to where you know, you feel for the character, and you can just feel the trauma that is being put on him by this instructor. You can definitely get a good idea with both of these films of how crazy music can be.
And it's interesting, too, one more point before we move on, that you know, on one hand, you could say the person is doing it to themselves because they're pushing themselves to be great. They kind of want that, right, that fame, and they want that, right, acceptance and all that stuff. But at the same time, they're also getting it from the external sources.
That's true.
All of the, yeah, you know, so it's an interesting push pull there.
Right.
But all right, what do you got for your next piece?
So I got a couple that could kind of go along with what we're talking about here. I know a lot of the pieces that I have, I don't, maybe the same with you, most of them are fairly new films. The mm-hmm. oldest one that I could think of is the 1996 movie Shine. Scott Hicks movie starring Jeffrey Rush. It's a great, great movie. It's based on a true story. About an Australian pianist, and he is a brilliant, brilliant piano player, but all of the pressure and the stress and everything, it basically broke him at one point. He basically,
right,
became... I don't know what the word is, but impaired as a person. He's still a brilliant piano player, but he talks in loops. He's sort of a Rain Man kind of person that sure. Something happened, something short circuited. And it just was a good example of the kind of pressure of this whole music world of being the best, going through the music schools and whatnot, just the kind of stress that puts you to and what that can do to a person. But Shine, yeah, is a fantastic film.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it since like way back when it came out, but yeah, that's a great piece though. Definitely, I could definitely see that. And I'm just gonna jump right in with another one that kind of just continues along that path. And this one I think has been kind of cited in pretty much every review of this movie, but that is Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan.
Yes.
Which, yes, you know, another movie about a highly competitive art form, mm-hmm, a different kind of art form. But, you know, we've talked about a little bit already about not being sure of what's real, what's, right, not. Is this person going crazy? Another comparison to Black Swan is also the male teacher who seems to be involved, right, with all the girls, right, which I think definitely, you know, connects it in a way. And I feel in a lot of ways, you know, this movie has a very, and I'm not saying this as a positive necessarily, but it has a very like youthful feeling, but not in necessarily a good way. Like it feels like a kid version almost of like a Black Swan, you, yeah, know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and you know, it's cool for what it is, but it definitely feels like kids making a movie like Black Swan.
Well, I agree with you. There to agree, in a way, this kind of seems like a watered down and kind of generic version of a lot of movies, and Black Swan is definitely, sure, one of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will say that that is my big gripe with this film, is that a lot of it is, it seems like that it is made up of puzzle pieces and inspiration.
Sure.
And it doesn't...
Well, it's interesting you said that there's not a lot of older movies that either of us are going to have. And you're absolutely, yeah, right. I'm looking at my list and it's kind of not.
Well, it kind of speaks to what it is, though, I think, because it's doing what we've seen... in years before with, let's just say, sports movies or, mm-hmm, military movies, and going through the pressure that is put on to the individual and how that can damage them, how it can break them, how it can, you know, make their mind do things, and with it being a young woman, I think we've seen in the past, you know, 5 or so years, we've been seeing a lot of more of that, those stories, and, mm-hmm, especially from, you know, women filmmakers, and such. So I think, very much there's a lot to this that is, just something that hadn't been explored until recent years.
Right, right. All right, well, what do you got for your next piece?
Well, keeping with the music theme, I was going to go with and again, this is another newer movie. I think it was maybe last year or year before, The Perfection, which was maybe one of the Miramax films that got dumped to Netflix because of the whole Harvey Weinstein thing, I think. This is, what are they, cello players, I believe. It's you know, about the basically prodigies being brought up, and you've got a young woman who, she was in this world. She stepped away from it because her mother got sick so she could take care of her mother. It's picks up with, it's 10 years after the fact. So here she is, I don't know, in her 20s, I would guess. And her mother has passed away. She hooks back up with the instructor that she had and meets the new prodigy, who is a few years younger than her, that basically this girl was her hero. And it goes through a lot of the bad things that this crazy instructor did to them. It goes on the sexual abuse side. But there's a point in this film where you think that the older prodigy is doing things to the younger one because of jealousy that she took her place and took her spotlight, but she's actually trying to save her from this world. But it goes a lot darker, it goes a lot more graphic, and it's definitely the one that I think works as well as a companion piece to this movie. Definitely one that came to mind. It's stylized and also has some of the what's real, what's not. There's like drugs involved where there are hallucinations and things like that. But yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, I never saw it, but I the thing that I remember is weren't people getting sick from it? That was like the big news story when it came out.
yeah there's a couple of those that went to Netflix that were supposedly ones that made people vomit when they watched it. Yeah, this was one of them.
That's funny. That's great. All right, cool. I got to go with my next piece here, and I haven't used this one in a little while, but it's a perfect movie to bring it up with, and that is Sam Raimi's Evil Dead. Nice. Because of the book, I mean, I had to, you know, a book full of creepy writings that, you know, connect people to demonic forces and you know, sets the story in motion.
Right.
So, you know. That's mainly just that book, The Book of the Dead,
right.
And in this case, the book of the former prodigy piano player who killed herself and passed on her writing.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally get it. Is Evil Dead, is that the most used puzzle piece?
it's got to be. If not the Evil Dead, it's you know, maybe Star Wars or something like that.
Well, I'll throw in a quick horror puzzle piece I had, because you just mentioned the former prodigy that kills herself. The way this movie opens was totally for me a callback to The Grudge. Of course, The Grudge. Mm-hmm. You've got Bill Pullman's character. You know, we open up on him, and it's Bill Pullman, so you're assuming that, you know, he's one of the stars of the movie, and then he just opens up the sliding glass door, walks onto the ledge, and then leaps off to his death.
Right.
So in this one, you've got the same thing. You've got this star. You know, well, she's not a name actress or anything, but you've got this person who, at first, you assume maybe this is her story, but no, she, you know, does the same thing and kills herself. And again, why does she kill herself? Is it supernatural? Does she go crazy? We don't really know. But yeah, The Grudge.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. All right, I'm going to go on to another one here. So this is, I think, one of the aspects of this movie that I think kind of didn't work the most for me. I think if we had dealt more with, you know, the book itself, talking about that last piece, or, you know, like why this stuff is happening, you know, it would have been better if we had gotten into more of that. And instead, things kind of get bogged down with a lot of this, like, teenager stuff and, like, the relationships with the kids and stuff. And some of that reminded me of Scream, Wes Craven's Scream series. Everybody is just, like, at the school, whenever we're getting, like, the kids being kids, either going to the parties or they're sitting in, like, you know, at lunch or whatever and talking and all, everyone just felt so, like, hip and gossipy. And, like, especially the first scene of that where they're all talking about the girl that killed herself. Right. And, like, it's just, it's so, like, nonchalant about it and everything. It totally reminded me of that kind of attitude that the kids had about death, which is like so completely, you know, unrealistic in a way and kind of like silly and 90s-ish, you know, which, you know, a lot of times would be a good thing, I think. But in this case, it just kind of took away from the main story, which I think could have been a lot more interesting.
So that is 100% accurate, I would say. It did feel very, very 90s in that regard. I didn't think of Scream, but yeah, Scream definitely does work. But yeah, Scream and Urban Legend and those mm-hmm. those 90s Kevin Williamson written movies. Right. This is definitely probably whoever wrote it, somebody that was a big fan of that and Dawson's Creek and that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So no, I totally feel that, which is funny because this actually works with my next puzzle piece. I wrote this down and I put a question mark. so we'll see how this goes. But I don't know why exactly. I can't put my finger on this 100%, but the movie Election, the Reese Witherspoon movie with
love this movie.
That movie came to mind. Really, what nailed it home was the scene where the sister puts the used tampons in her mm-hmm. mailbox, and she comes out, and the music's like dun, 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 whatever. It's like this upbeat, like, you know, song, and it's like she's gonna go out and face her sister, and she throws them on the ground. I don't know, something about that moment seemed very Election. And then also the way that she turns things to her advantage by getting rid of her current music teacher so that she can get the teacher that she wants. The way she plays that in this weird, she just manipulates the situation.
Right.
Yeah. It just right. felt very, a lot like Election.
Interesting. I would have never, never thought about that. By the way, that song, I ended up Shazamming it because I liked it and added it to my Spotify 2020 playlist.
So what was that song?
What is it called? I have it here. It's Gazelle Twin, Unflesh.
Gazelle Twin. Yeah, they played a lot of that throughout, and I really liked. There were a couple of things I did like about the movie. One is the music and the way the music was worked from that, because I think there were a number of tracks from them that they used, and then also mm-hmm. the classical music that was used. I really thought the music was done well. I also thought the cinematography was great. I thought there was some style to the movie at times.
It was. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, good performances, good cinematography for sure, and some interesting music choices. I'd say it's a little mixed bag overall, mm-hmm. but like there's definitely some cool stuff going on with the music.
Right.
I mean, really the story is my main thing.
Right.
But so Election, really interesting puzzle piece there. So my next piece is actually The Black Coat's Daughter. From Osgood
nice.
Perkins' 2015 film,
nice.
Which I just watched for the first time recently. And, you know, the whole private school setting, mm-hmm. you know, in that case, it's a boarding school. Here, it's a music academy.
Right.
And also just the kind of the tone where there's not a lot of, like, actual, like, horror happening. It's more creepiness and claustrophobia and like people being alone and like creeped out and just the kind of general feeling being in that kind of a setting and being stuck and unsure of what's going to happen. It kind of felt to me like it could be a pretty good companion piece.
No, that is a good one. Psychological horror is what I would say.
Yes.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, it gets in the head, which is that not an A24 film? I think it is.
It is, yes, actually. Yes, I yes.
So that's one of the things that they're really, really good at doing. I think that's what the Witch does as well, is just really, really getting under your skin and in your head. And this one, that's what it's going for. I don't know if it fully succeeds, but yeah, definitely that is where this one is trying to land. That's a great one. That one didn't come to mind, but that is a great piece.
Awesome.
I would say along the same lines, though, is actually Neon Demon. And Neon Demon, one of the things that made me think about it is that Neon Demon's in the world of, you know, models and modeling, and it's almost like it's a version of Black Swan or this movie. It's almost like, you know, this is the music, Black Swan's dance, and Neon Demon is modeling. And lots of you know, psychological horror, lots of things implied, and also you know, is this really happening, is this in the head, that sort of thing. I loved Neon Demon. I actually have not rewatched it since the first time I seen it. It's one I definitely need to revisit because I love that movie. Look of it, the feeling of it, just can't recommend that one enough. But this was definitely one that I felt like I was a lesser version of that film.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about the cinematography a few minutes ago, and definitely, like, whenever things start to get, like, kind of trippy in this movie, I mean, it's got some really cool visuals and stuff, which I, you know, I could absolutely see those being compared there. And then, of course, just the, you know, another particular arts world that the person is going nuts within, you know? So, yeah, absolutely, that works. Also, you know, just as a quick aside before my next piece, but the main star, the Sydney Sweeney, I think she does a great job. She actually reminded me a lot of Aubrey Plaza in a way. She kind of got like that kind of like, I don't know, she just kind of seems done with everything around her. Like, you know, she's like kind of over it, you know, over everybody and everything. Just a little bit of that kind of energy.
Yeah. Oh, I get what you're saying. And also at the same time, maybe first impression is sweet, but there's this darkness underneath.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I only have one more piece. My last piece is not a movie, but it's kind of like the urban legend or whatever of Robert Johnson selling his soul to the devil, you know, to become a great blues musician. And that, of course, there's many versions of that story over the years, even in other songs and other musicians. But, you know, I just figure that version is kind of like the classic. And, you know, this girl is kind of, depending on what is real within the world of the movie, and we're not 100% sure on what's happening, but what seems to be happening, though, is that she is, you know, rather than working necessarily for it, she's kind of taking this shortcut to become better than her sister and to become the best piano player, and taking the shortcut by this demonic piece of music in this demonic notebook. And so, I think it's absolutely kind of stems from that same folktale.
And that is a great PC, because I was trying to think of a movie specifically that dealt with that, because I know there's been lots of different ones. I was thinking of the movie, which I couldn't remember it very well, so I didn't bring it up, but I believe it's called Crossroads with Ralph Macchio. And then I was thinking, isn't there something with like the Tenacious D movie? There were a lot of things.
I was thinking of that. That's more the Devil Went Down to Georgia version, like of battling the devil. But it's within the
right.
same realm.
So I was trying to think of a good piece, and I couldn't really come up with anything. But definitely there's that influence there.
For sure. So do you have any more?
Yeah, I do. I do have a couple. I'll just go through them real quick. One, I was actually surprised. I thought that you were going to bring up, because I think you were fairly big fan of Suspiria.
Sure.
Which goes along with Black Swan really well.
Yeah, that's the only reason I didn't bring it up, is because I feel like it kind of hits the same notes as Black Swan. I probably could have just combined it with it, but definitely I thought of Suspiria.
Yeah.
And especially the remake. I think
exactly,
it's like more
exactly.
influenced by the remake.
Yeah, the remake. Yeah. And again, yeah, something more recent. But might as well mention that one. You know, I mean, Dakota Johnson, she's fabulous. She's in that. I forgot to mention Elle Fanning when I was talking about Neon Demon, by the way. The other ones, Coda was one that came to mind for me. Coda is the Katie Holmes movie.
Never saw that.
It's pretty good. It's not great. With it, you've got an aging, piano player, played by Patrick Stewart, who, he all of the sudden, after years and years of being this, great, pianist that handlines shows, he has stage fright. He meets this younger woman, Katie Holmes, who is actually a music critic. They become friends, and there's just something about her and their connection that she calms like that anxiety in him, and he's able to continue on and play shows. Just the whole thing with the pressure of performing, the whole panic attack that the lead has in this film, and just the fact that it's a piano movie, I'm just instantly thinking about it. So
totally.
Specifically with I had two things that came to mind, because I was thinking about movies that were dealing with siblings and the competitiveness of the sibling, especially with the siblings doing the same thing. The two things that came to mind are actually sports movies. And one of them is Fighting With My Family, which is it's a great movie based on true story. Brother and sister wrestlers. And the brother and the sister try out, to be a part of the whatever the wrestling federation is. And the sister ends up getting it. The brother doesn't. Sister kind of just ends up pretty much throwing it away, or at least it appears that way to the brother. And there's a lot of anger and bitterness toward her of, you stole my my dream and threw it away, sort of thing. Reminding me a lot of that.
That's a good one.
The other one is the movie Warrior with Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton. Great, great movie, mixed martial arts movie, about two brothers that it's a broken family. And the difference here is that they actually through fighting and then actually fighting against each other in this tournament where they end up in the championship together, they actually make amends. And it seems like even one of the before the brother beats the other one, he tells him that he loves him and he forgives him. And, it's just a fantastic movie, though. But that whole element of the competing brothers just some of how not just what's going on with the art form itself, but also just everything in their life together, it kind of butts up with all of these pressures. So
right. Interesting, speaking to those two pieces, I don't want to be the guy who tells the writer how to write the better version of their movie or whatever, you know. But I'm just saying, something I would find to be like a really fascinating movie is if somebody wrote a version of this, you know, competing piano players who are sisters, that throws out all the other stuff and it's just them and almost no other characters, like, you know, almost none of the other stuff, just the intense competition between the two of them, I think could really be like such an interesting story.
Right. I got you. More whiplash,
yeah.
Like the intensity of the whiplash, like especially that finale, like the intensity,
yeah,
of that with competition.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So any other pieces?
No, I think that was it.
Cool. Well, then I will go ahead and do the finished puzzle and then we'll get into some closing thoughts here. We have for Nocturne, we've got The Witch, Whiplash, Shine, Black Swan, The Perfection, Evil Dead, The Grudge, Scream, Urban Legend we added in there too, Election, The Black Coat's Daughter, Neon Demon, The Robert Johnson Urban Legend, Suspiria, Coda, Fighting With My Family, and Warrior.
Nice.
So an interesting list, and you know, it's a movie that's doing a lot of interesting things, kind of like mixing together these ideas, the music movie, the competitive movie, the warring siblings movie,
right,
and then all mixed up with this whole supernatural element as well. Did you have any like specific thoughts that we didn't quite get to in the process of talking about the puzzle pieces?
The main thing was, is I remember when all four of these trailers dropped for the Welcome to the Blumhouse on Amazon. This was the one that I watched the trailer and I was like, okay, that one looks really great. I was like, okay, these other ones, they look good. This one looks great. And after watching it, I realized why that was, is because of the style of this one and the visuals of this one. One does, I would say it steps that element up, and that's what for me kept it from just following into just mediocre. It definitely has some flair to it.
Sure. Yeah. I haven't watched the other three, but so I can't really comment on those, but I definitely would say I'm interested to see what this director does next. Sue Quirky.
I would say so too. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I think that she's probably got a pretty interesting voice moving forward. So I'd like to see that. As far as other closing thoughts, I don't really have anything. I did write down one line that just made me laugh. I was like a penny in a slot machine. Everything just made sense. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up. But
what I wanted to say, I haven't watched all four of these though. The Lie is the one that I definitely recommend that people watch. The Lie is absolutely fantastic. Great cast. A really, really well done, really well acted. Again, it's not really horror. It is more thriller, but it is fantastic. Black Box, was my second favorite. It of course has, Felicia Rashad, from The Cosby Show. She hasn't really aged, you know, she's like, who knows how old now, but, it's still, Miss Huxtable. She's like the villain of the movie, which is interesting. I think is great casting there. But then I would say, Nocturne, and then last, Evil Eye, was my least favorite of them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know that I'm going to seek out these other three. Maybe The Lie, since you talked highly of it. I know Gina really wants to watch that one. So maybe I'll catch The Lie one of these days.
Yeah, definitely watch The Lie. It's great.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for Nocturne. And I'm sure this will be the only one of this Welcome to the Blumhouse series that we end up covering on the show. But We've obviously covered Blumhouse before, and I'm sure we'll do it again at some point. Chad, is there anything else you watched recently that you maybe like to recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, definitely. I've got one that actually works really well too. It's called Nesting Dolls. I'm not sure if it came out end of 2019 or if it came out this year. It's on my list, though, of best movies of 2020. It's from director Robbie Snow. It is basically three girls, three women, they're sorority girls, in a house together over a weekend. An accident happens, and then it just starts to get weirder and weirder from there. I would say it's Queen of Earth meets Sorority Row meets Very Bad Things, meets Death Game. It's definitely a lot of fun, and there is a fantastic spaghetti scene in it. And any movie with a great spaghetti scene, like Gummo, I am all for.
Hell yeah. Well, it sounds pretty good. I might have to check that one out.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime too, or at least it was. That's where I watched it. I just stumbled across it, and it's great.
Awesome. Well, hey, Chad, as always, thank you so much for being here, and look forward to next time.
All right. Well, thank you.
You've heard others, but nothing could prepare you for the shameful stupidity that is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Witness the hubris as they claim to be the world's authority on comic book movies.
Who said that?
Never said that. We've never said that.
Who cares? A jock said that.
Comic book, TV, movie reviews, news, and whatever they choose. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Jock and Nerd Podcast. Seriously, people really listen to this.
Jock and Nerd!
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Nocturne. Thanks to Chad Clinton Freeman for joining me. And coming up real soon, I want to get some more of these Halloween-themed episodes out of the way because it is October. But we did just record a special Missing Pieces episode on one of Chad's favorite movies of all time, 300 from Zack Snyder. So that's going to be coming up real soon, probably the first week of November, I think. And it's a great conversation. I think we got into a lot of great puzzle pieces on that one. So make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can, of course, also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. We love hearing what you think of the show, so do that. But, you know, if you're going to leave a star rating, make it 5 stars because, you know, you can give us all the constructive criticism you want. I love hearing that stuff. But, you know, 5 stars, 5 stars. We like 5 stars. So, yeah, do that. And, of course, follow us on social media at PiecingPod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And I mentioned it at the top of the show, but I'm going to mention it again now. We do have a Patreon, and we would love your support. If you sign up for the Patreon, we've got advanced Piecing It Together episodes. Actually, as soon as I finish editing that 300 episode, that'll go up there. So you'll be able to check that out like almost a month early, or at least a couple weeks early. And of course, bonus content from Awesome Movie Year, All Rice No Beans, and My Music Career. So a lot of great stuff on there. Do check it out. Produced by David Rosen on Patreon, patreon.com/bydavidrosen. And of course, there's links here in the show notes. So that does it for today. I'm going to close this thing out with a piece of music, as I always do. And I think today I'm going to go with a track called Stalker. This was a single I released a couple years ago between albums. It's a good Halloween-themed piece of music. And so it fits on any creepy, spooky, horror-based movie episode, and especially during the month of October. So enjoy Stalker, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together coming up real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.